And tonight on Coast to Coast AM with Sonia Barrett, we are going to be talking about her work, The Holographic Canvas, about fear, about mind control, what they're trying to do to us. So stand by on Coast to Coast AM. All right, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about Sonia Barrett. She's the author of The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. Now, she presents some insights supported by quantum physics, bridging the gap between science and spirituality. She's the host, producer, founder of the Sovereign Mind Radio, founder and publisher of Sovereign Mind Magazine as well, and she explores the possibility of physical existence way beyond our common view of time and cycles. Here's Sonia Barrett on Coast to Coast. Hi, Sonia. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I'm looking forward to this. Tell us a little bit more about you beyond just the bio.
Well, let's see. I think overall, a curious individual, and pretty much everything I do is about digging in, I guess, and trying to understand more about the nature of reality. I'm, of course, a mother of two sons and two grandsons as well, and so all of this is what I end up giving also to sharing with my children as well. So curiosity is basically, if I were to sum it all up, that's what I do. I'm curious George.
And I'm curious Sonia. So here we go. What got you, this always fascinates me, when I talk with people about how they developed into the areas that they have eventually gone into. Did it happen in your youth? What got you in the direction that you went down?
Well, for me, you know, I've often said when I get on radio shows, sometimes you wish you could find another way to say it so you don't say it the same way all the time. But the truth of it is, I know that I came into this life just very curious, grew up in the church, but a lot of what I was being taught just wasn't adding up for me. I mean, even as a very, very small child. So I had a lot of questions about, you know, all of that and the fact that, of course, you know, you're told as a child, be good or else, you know, you're not going to go to heaven. Lots of things that sort of terrified me. And as life would have it, I remained curious throughout the years and even into my teenage years. And then I sort of took a break from it and went into the usual, you know, the children, the marriage, so on and so forth. And it was actually my divorce in 92 that really triggered me into this kind of information. I really just needed to understand more about my life, the life that I had lived in that situation for 14 years. I really wanted it to, I didn't want it to come from another human being. This was really my desire. I felt that there was a way for me to understand, to pierce some sort of veil. And I was very diligent, with digging and on my own. We're not talking really with books or going anywhere because I didn't even know that anybody was thinking the way I was thinking.
Like this, you, yeah.
Yeah, I just wasn't even thinking in that direction. So not able to meditate. I didn't know anything about that because, you know, church, you come from a background of praying. And so these are things I had to learn on my own. And, you know, after going at this thing and attempting to meditate or to break through, not sure exactly what I was trying to break through, but I knew it was something, one day it just happened. And I was sitting in the lotus position on the floor, I remember, and, you know, taking breaths, didn't know anything about that. It was just something that I just started to do, and it just did something. It just opened me up, and now I understand a little bit more in terms of what happened and its impact on the brain and so on and so forth, but it just, at that moment, I just saw that there was something beyond the physical world. There was this sense, this feeling of seeing behind the curtain. And I just started to do this every day, diligently, for about 10 years. I went at this kind of discovery. And if you know, and I make the distinction that it wasn't channeling for me. It was actually just reaching in and realizing that everything was made up of information. And I was basically, I guess if you want to say downloading, accessing the information that I realized was actually in everything. And that's how the book was born. And I wasn't trying to write a book. It was just content. I kept writing things as I was understanding this and getting information.
These were experiences for you.
Right, exactly. And then I had enough content, and then I said, wow, I could have a book here. And I started to sit at that point and formulate chapters, started putting things together, and then more information came for certain parts of the book, and I expanded on it. So that's in a nutshell basically what happened. And I didn't know anything about quantum physics or any of that. I've never taken physics. So it was definitely a real interesting process.
Well, we're going to cover a lot of ground with you tonight, Sonia, our guest, Sonia Barrett, author of The Holographic Canvas. I want to talk with you first about fear and how they manipulate our minds to scare the daylights out of us in order to do things, in order to control. You call it the business of disease. How widespread is this pushing us into fear? Because in my opinion, no matter where you go, there's always something bad they're hitting us with, whether it's terror or the economy, justified or not. It's this bombardment. How much can people take, Sonia?
Well, obviously a lot. Obviously,
there's got to be a boiling point somewhere.
Obviously a lot. I mean, and I think we have to remember that. Well, first of all, Business of Disease, yes, that's the film, the documentary I'm working on. That's the name of it. But I think we have to realize that this has been going on for such a long time on different levels, and it is so subtle. There's so much subtlety to the way fear is imposed on us that many times people don't even realize that they're in fear. It's just a way of life. We have to also remember that we are kept in survival mode, a consciousness of continuous survival mode, fight or flight. We live in that space. People live there. Pretty much everyone ends up living in that space. So we have to first really realize the conditioning and the programming that it goes way beyond this time that we're living in, you know, way beyond 20 or 30 or 50 years or even 100 years or, you know, it's been like that for a long time.
Well, they knew this. For some reason, the ancients, and it's been carried through now to people, they realized that they can control the masses by keeping them at bay, by scaring them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you have to remember, too, that one of the core issues or the core programming with human beings is a fear of non-existence, a fear of annihilation, just a fear of not being. And that is really what all the fears are attached to. Deep down in all of us, everybody is afraid of not existing. And so pretty much everything that we're hit with somehow has some sort of attachment to something happening to us, whether it be money. If you don't have the money, this could happen. What if you don't have health care? What if something happens to you and you get sick? And then, you know, God forbid you don't have the right kind of health care, then you could die. Everything is attached to that one component is the human fear of not existing, something happening to us. And that programming definitely had to have come from some of these ancient beings that walked upon the planet and had a lot to do with human existence or human beings as we know human beings today. And so they had to be wired that way in order to be able to carry out whatever the design was, the design of humanity was going to be and the protocols by which human beings were going to need to live by. You have to have something in there to keep order.
No doubt. I would guess the ancients created this fear-mongering in order to control people, basically telling them, you know, if you don't, you know, march to our tune, you know, I'm going to send my troops on you, or we're going to crush you. The gladiators will destroy you. The centurions will crush you. And I think that's how it all started.
Absolutely. And people want to live. I think that's something that we just can't forget that. Even when somebody kills themselves, they commit suicide sometimes because they somehow, there's an issue there. They want to live, but something has short-circuited them, and living, they're not able to capture that. But human beings, at the core, at the root of it all, we want to live. And if indeed these beings held that over, you know, their people's heads as they went through this kind of evolution, and we started to like and enjoy the experiences we're having, obviously, in these physical bodies, we get very attached to it. So we also have to remember, we are also addicted to living. We are addicted to life. We are wired that way. Life is a chemical experience for us. And so there is, it's habitual, it's addictive, and you want the fix. Life is, you're getting your fix by living. And so there's a lot of factors involved here, I think, when we look at the science of how we are wired, as to why it then be so easy for us to be manipulated in that sense. Even when there's nothing there, it's all smoke and mirrors. All they have to do, especially in the media, is to wave certain concepts, certain ideas that trigger that core fear, and people just step back. Even though if there's no electric fence right there, they step back.
Give us an overview of the Holographic Canvas, your book.
Well, the Holographic Canvas, the book, actually, it covers a little bit of everything. And I think one of the key components that it gets into is the programming aspect, the programming of humanity, but also what is possible. I think that was something that became very important to me, very significant to me, and it drives me very much so now, is focusing on what is possible. And the book takes you through a journey where you start to recognize, maybe step outside of that comfort zone, or step outside of that model of reality that you've been given all your life, and you start to realize, maybe this really isn't so. What's possible? And that's really what the book pushes us towards, is thinking about what's possible. Is time, you know, the way we've been conditioned to understand time, is it really that way? Can we live longer than we are basically told that we can live? We are told everything. We are conditioned for everything. And so the book is exploring all of those factors and some of the science. At the time when I wrote it, anyway, I had to do a little bit of research then on stem cells, because that was kind of a big thing then.
Yeah.
But it looked into some of those components. And so, yeah, so the book basically pulls a person out of that comfort zone and just kind of opens up your mind to other possibilities. And if your mind wasn't open before, it sets the scene where you start to think about just how limited, how small am I really thinking?
Well, let's talk about the human being as a whole. What is it about them generally that accepts these fear points in order to be controlled? Why can't they just say, forget it, I'm not going to do it? Most of them will follow.
Well, again, as I was saying, there is a programming, there is a conditioning that is there. For most people, you do have some people that come onto the planet and they've always been curious. They've always questioned everything, but the majority doesn't. What I came to realize is that what I like to call the level one human experience is how I define it. There's a level one human experience. And by level one human experience, what I mean is that in the level one state, you are, as a human being, experiencing all of the most limited possibilities that there can be, meaning that you absolutely are sort of disconnected from what's possible outside of the boundaries that have been created for us, the protocols that have been structured, that have been put in place for that level one human experience. And those protocols basically say you operate within these particular boundaries. Your brain is wired that way. So your perception base and your belief system is all wired to with these boundaries, and you operate within the confines of that. Now, parents pass that on. Parents support the limitations as well. And then, of course, society and all of the things that, and people, religion, all of those components are there to ensure that we don't step outside of those boundaries that have been set for our minds and for our perception base. And so with that said, yes, people then, it's a much easier for people to operate within that controlled system. The other factor here is that, again, because there's such subtlety that most people don't think that they are being controlled, because it's done in such a way that we think that most of what we're doing is authentic. But if we look at the influence, a lot of the influences that we've had that sort of guided us in the direction that we end up going with our lives, all the social protocols, you know, all the good person, bad person protocols, all of those things are there. They're guidelines for us. The governmental structure that sets boundaries, laws, limitations, that's what we're programmed for, is to take orders, is to be subservient, is to believe that we do not know what's best for us, that something and someone else outside of us knows completely what's best for us. So you see, the wiring is really like that across the board. And that's why we look to government, we look to our minister, we look to management, you know, the company you work for, we're scared of our boss. We are wired that way. And so you can see very easily why it's so easy for people to be pulled in, even when they don't realize they're pulled in. I think because they're wealthy, or because they've achieved their dream of having that big office in the, you know, corporate office, mm-hmm. and their VP, everybody
with their briefcase.
Absolutely.
I can't forget that.
And they are the most programmed. They are probably the most programmed in comparison to even the guy going down the street who's sleeping on the park bench. I mean, so it's a real interesting illusory process, very deceptive process. It's sneaky. And so most people don't realize that they're being played.
Are we robots? Hold that question when we come back in a moment. Sonia Barrett with us as we talk about her work, the Holographic Canvas. And their websites, they're all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And our guest, Sonia Barrett, we're talking about the Holographic Canvas, and we'll be back with her in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Sonia Barrett with us. Sonia, give me your take on group mind deception. What is that?
Well, I think that, and I've been saying this for a long time, I think that this goes far and wide, and I talk about it from, you know, the New Age movement as well. But by that, I'm talking about this Borg-like thinking, this Borg-like conditioning, mm-hmm. That I noticed quite some time ago. And again, another subtle thing that is happening. We do see, and most of us, yes, can admit that it does appear that we are always conditioned to think like the other person. We do see it with religion, which is why they go out and they recruit, because the more people that believe what you believe, then obviously the stronger that belief system appears to be, sure. And the more we believe it. But I think overall what I looked at, even with the confusion of 2012, there's a lot of, you know, we all have to begin to think this certain way. We have to recruit you know, everybody. We have to get out there and get everybody to just basically be thinking in a certain certain mindset. And I understand people want to build communities and so on and so forth. But I think what we have to also truly recognize or ask the question, is it really true that we can't individually have an evolution without having to make sure that the entire group moves forward? And that's not a selfish thinking whatsoever. I think this is something that people really need to consider, because that is basically what is being said most of the time, is the fact that we need to get more of everyone thinking the same way, on the same page. But what if everybody's journey here on the planet isn't really about that? Is it really possible to get everybody thinking the same way? Is that what is supposed to happen? So for me, there are some real questions there. And I know a lot of people, yes, they might not agree with me with that, but I see a great deception with that, because nowhere are we being told that, yes, well, individually, can you individually go through an evolution? We hear about it with, you know, Buddha, and we hear about it with Yeshua, and we hear about it with these other beings, everybody else, because what? Because they were worthy, and they could do that. They're special. They're different. But what we are so programmed to believe is that as individuals, we are not worthy, and we are not of that caliber that we can do these certain things. That's for somebody else that has a certain connection with God, but that's not for you. So what can happen, though, is what they're saying is we can do this if we all do it together. And I feel that there is a little bit of a setup going on with that, especially in light of, yes, a lot of the channeling that goes on, which I have talked about. And I'm not saying all channeling. I'm not saying that at all. But when there's been such a rise in channeling in the last several years, I think there's a lot of deception in place. And human beings are like children. Most human beings, anyway, are like children in terms of our mind space, or how far we can stretch the possibilities, how far we can actually think in terms of what we see as a possibility. And so it's very easy to manipulate that. Now, a lot of people like it that way because it's this sort of a free ride kind of thinking, where if the group is moving together, then I'm going to move, you know, I'm going to be moving forward.
And it must be okay.
Exactly. That is one of the biggest setups right there, is if everybody is going in the same direction, it's got to be okay. So you find that most of the programming is telling us these things to move in that kind of mindset and not have individualized thinking. And it's so subtle that people don't realize that that's what they're doing, that they're actually buying into this. They are part of this. They are in the Borg thinking. That's where the concept of the Borg came from. None of these movies that we're doing, that we're seeing, are just being written. You know, we think it's all just entertainment. But there's something in human beings, because everything is made up of information, as I said earlier. We have this information. We are able to access the history on pretty much anything. So there is something in us that is telling us otherwise. And so it shows up, yes, through the writers and whatever some of these writers' secret society connections are. But you see it's showing up before you, and it's coming from somewhere. It's not just a movie. These concepts are coming from somewhere. And that was definitely a replica of where we're going in terms of that Borg thinking, the Pied Piper leading everyone. Mm-hmm. And then ascension, the whole idea of ascension, that became such I don't even know what to call it, because there's a lot of people who think in that sense, that they've got to just be with the group. As long as they're with the group, we're all just going to do this thing together, well, where are we going? It's like there are things that people just aren't questioning.
Well, it was like the manipulation of the weapons of mass destruction to get us into Iraq. You know, it was create this fear, create this need, all by deception, and then look what happened.
Well, we duplicate. Everything is a duplicate of the next thing. That's all it is. We copy from one simulation to
right.
the next.
And they change it a little bit to fit whatever scheme they're working on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because we're so being programmed and thinking a certain way is so natural for us because it's wired into us that a lot of things do slip by us. And you can't readily say some of these things, obviously, to most people. They will just stone you because they want to hang on to the program. They don't want you to tell them any of
that. It's comfortable.
It's very comfortable because you have to think for yourself. And obviously, if you're thinking for yourself, what's going to happen? You're responsible for yourself. And we've been programmed to believe that we are not capable of being responsible for ourselves. And we see that every day with government. Government reminds the people on a daily basis that they are not capable of being responsible for themselves. And that's the reason why they do the things that they do, because the masses don't get it. And they generally are approving of the thing that the prison, you know, the boundaries, the fence that gets created, because they think it's for protection. It's because government cares. So it's a big setup from the religious aspect as well, the corporate aspect, the educational system, and those are all the systems through which all of this is being administrated. The protocols for keeping humans in a limited way of thinking, a limited way of limited concepts. Because what if we were to step outside of that, George? What would happen? Would we then become masters? Would we be the magicians? Would we have the same kind of powers as those who pass themselves off as gods to us once upon a time?
Well, and hasn't modern religion done the same thing as well? They've
Absolutely.
Taken the fear of hell and, you know, fire and brimstone, and they've done that to us.
Oh, absolutely. And it, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I think as time goes on, it's they sort of bring some sort of evolution to the control, but it's the same thing that is going on all the time. And religion, yes, people are die hard for their religious belief, and we just find different ways to interpret our involvement. Oh, yeah, but it's not exactly the same thing. You know, that's what we do. So we find ways to excuse and to qualify our dependency and our relinquishment of our power and our right and our control over our own minds, our own bodies, our own spirits. Because it's a lot easier. It's easier to believe that somebody else is totally responsible for you, whether it be Jesus or whether it be, you know, the minister or whatever the case may be. It is just easier to hand over responsibility to something else outside of yourself because that is the programming.
They use this in marketing techniques as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's most of what marketing most of the marketing that we see, especially in reference to people's health, that is very, very, very key in terms of the health aspect of it, because everything that we see in terms of health marketing is reminding us, is sort of stabilizing or ensuring that that belief system never breaks away, that it stays in place. And that belief is that we know what's best for you. Ask your doctor. I mean, it's always, we know what's best for you. That's why we're telling you this. We're going to tell you what you're going to get next or what you could get next, what illness you could get next. We're going to tell you by what age you should start getting sick. We're going to tell you all of these things. All you do is just follow. You just do exactly what you're told to do. We've got it covered. We're going to tell you what to do every step of the way. And that's what we see with marketing, and most of all, I think you see it more the health, anything related to health. Now the big thing with health is, you know, this whole shingles thing that they've been suddenly talking about. Well, of course, there's that shingles vaccine now, so you've got to sell that. You've got to market that. So the commercial, the first time I heard it, I was like, good Lord. You know, it was some guy with shingles and how painful, and he had no idea. And, of course, it says if anybody's had, I think it's the measles or something like that, which most people have had it, then you have the shingles virus inside you. You know, so it's that kind of thinking. And then shortly after, we pass by CVS Pharmacy and all these places, and now we see the sign on the outside, come and get your shingles vaccine. And it just goes on and on and on like that. Flu shots. I mean, everything just goes on and on and on, and the sheeples just, you know.
Well, they're brilliant, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. They've been doing it for such a long time.
Yep.
Look at Edward Bernays. I mean, you know. He was considered the father of public relations. I mean, you look at the marketing strategies, you know, and even with cigarettes and women eventually smoking cigarettes so that the cigarette industry could now make money off that, pulling them in. That's money that they weren't able to collect before until they gave women permission to smoke. And that's what's so fascinating. They find ways to navigate our minds into whatever direction that they want your mind to go in. If women didn't feel that they had permission to smoke before, then guess what? We'll come up with a way to make all women feel that it's okay. And that's what they do all along, just through the whole process. Through the whole process, that's what's being done.
Now, you know, Sonia, as you look at all of this, how do people fix it? What do they do?
Well, I think that my thing, whenever I'm asked this question, I think more than anything else, the individual has to be ready to examine his or her life. You have to stop. It's like stopping in the middle of a movie, or you're on stage and you're an actor on stage, you're a character on stage, and then you suddenly stop and you start watching, looking at the role you're playing. Well, you have to stop, and you have to take an honest look. Not that kind of look where you go, well, no, that's not happening to me, because we're so used to lying to ourselves like that. I think we have to take a truthful look, a truthful evaluation of the life that we've been living. And then only at that point, that individual can decide to make some different choices, can gradually begin to step away from things that they clearly see is a manipulation or some way that their mind has been directed, moved in that direction. So I think honesty with oneself is the first thing. I could tell you all kinds of things. And that's the other thing, George. We love step one, step two, and step three. That's the reason why all of these things work, because we love the quick fixes. Well, guess what? Nothing is going to change until the individual can stop and be honest about the life that one is living and how maybe you've been walking through life asleep. And then when you start to ask the questions, guess what? There is that part of you that is there, that is alive, that part that, you know, we sort of rent out to religion and to everything else, that part of you that really is that connecting string that makes us stay alive, that really is that force that keeps us in existence. There's a live feed. There is a live feed, like the internet. There is a live transmission going on all the time. And if we stop, we can begin to tap into that. And this isn't fluffy stuff. This is a science. What are we beyond our bodies? What are we beyond our bodies? It's not really a complicated question. I don't care what somebody's religious belief is. If they are able to stop for a moment and feel oneself, they will realize, you will ask that question. I think I love that question. When you stop and you say, who am I? You start looking at your hands. You start looking at how you can move your fingers. You just the silliest thing starts to put you in a different direction. Because in my opinion, this is not about war and just fighting the system. I think you have to build a new system, and that new system has to begin with the individual. This is not just about going out and fighting. I was on another show a while back, and we were talking about the same thing. When people were talking about building communities and everybody being able to work together in the sense of, you know, supporting even those, the weak. And I'm not talking about people who are sick. I'm talking about people who maybe just can't pull their weight.
Right.
Well, you know what? The truth of it is, the strongest force that we can have is when each person is strong individually. When we can individually find our own strength, that is when we can come together, and it's not a Borg existence then. It's individuals, we are one, but individually there is a strength, and that's what makes it strong. Not just everybody being, you know, other people just being able to depend on other people. Because you know what, there's a point where nobody can take you. Nobody can take you. You have to do the journey for yourself. Just like you have to live your life, even though it might be controlled. Nobody can actually just live it for you. So we have to begin to look at the full spectrum of everything and not do this from fear. You don't do it from fear, and you don't do it from blaming yourself. Because that's another thing what we're used to doing. We blame ourselves. We have a lot of regret. No, what you do is you realize that what I lived when that was what I understood. But here I am now, and this is the choice I'm making to wake up and to figure out what direction I want to go in. Why do I like the color blue or pink or red, or why do I do what I do? And that was a question I asked myself. How do I know I like this color because I like this color? Is there an authentic me? Is there an authentic me?
Or have you been programmed to like it?
Exactly. And that's the what you have to do. That's why I say honesty is very, very essential, because that's the only thing that I think is going to get us moving forward. The system is a war system. This planet is a war planet. We think we need to understand that. And so because of that, because the system is based on opposition, everything about it is based on opposition, you can't really fighting it is ammunition for it, because that's how it's designed. That's what it knows. So you have to come at it differently. You have to come at it where you build yourself up, like your immune system.
Hold on, Sonia. We're going to come back for another hour here with you. We'll even open up phone lines next on Coast to Coast AM.